Thanks for joining us, Dave Preston, alongside Noah Frank here. Just talking a little bit March Madness and kind of the championship week, what we're looking at for the final 6 days, I guess it is, until Selection Sunday. 5 days by the time you read this. And Dave has a piece up today that's on the site that there will be a link to through this this piece, kind of looking at all the local teams going into this final week, and as well as his ranking of Girl Scout cookies, his annual ranking of Girl Scout cookies.
Each one as important as the other, let the record show.
You can see if that's changed or not from last year. But yeah, I just wanted to get into kind of where we see everybody right now and what might change and what are the games to keep an eye on that could shrink or grow the bubble, depending on what happens with some of these mid-major teams and the conference tournaments. So to start off with, we have created a model here at WTOP to sort of compete with bracketology. The idea really this year, because it feels like such an open field this year. I mean, I don't know about you, but for me, like, I'm looking, you know, every team has at least four losses, which I don't ever remember, like, there being no 0 or 1 or 2 loss teams. And it seems like there's a lot of fluidity this year.
It seems, you're right, Noah. It seems like every week or two there's been either a new number one or there's been a vastly different top five. Maryland's 18th in the writers' rankings this week. They were as high as number two. You've seen teams go up and down. It's a very volatile commodities market in the top 20.
Well, and I remember seeing a stat a couple weeks ago that the number one team in the nation on the road this year had a losing record, which is just, I mean, that's crazy. Like, it's tough to play on the road in college basketball, but for the number one team at any point during the season, you know, to have a losing record, it shows how much we really don't have a dominant force like we've had with Kentucky, you know, in years past and other schools. So with that in mind, the model right now has the top four teams, the number one seeds going into this final week, going into championship week, as Kansas, which seems a pretty obvious number one, Villanova, Xavier, and North Carolina. Xavier might be, you know, more likely to sort of drop to a two seed. Obviously, only one of those teams between them and Nova can win the Big East. So depending on how that tournament shakes out, Virginia is not too far behind, and neither is Michigan State on the beginning of the two lines. So there's definitely some fluidity there. Conference tournaments will obviously solve a lot of that. Do you see that as a pretty accurate top four? Does anybody stick out?
I've got Kansas, Villanova, Michigan State, and Virginia as my top four. What's nice about this week is that you will have separation between the top four and the second four. And granted, a lot of it's ambiguous. Last year, we had Duke as the number one, even though they didn't win the ACC regular season or tournament. I think they lost in the ACC semis. You'll get some of those picks, but I think that what's nice about this week is that you'll have Xavier playing Villanova. You'll have a Virginia perhaps squaring off with a North Carolina, and you'll have a definite who's number one, who's number two.
So that segues nicely, can kind of jump right into the local and extended local teams that we consider the Beltway extended down as far as Charlottesville and whatnot. So Virginia being sort of the top team, and pretty obviously, I would think, out of our group. You said you see them as a one. I got them as the top two, but obviously a chance to play their way in if they can win the ACC tournament. Where do you see Maryland right now?
I see Maryland as a four, and they could drop to a five or a six if they lose early in this upcoming Big Ten tournament, because you look at their schedule, they've lost 4 of 6, and they've actually lost 5 of 11 of their last Division I games. We're not counting the game against Bowie State because they're a D2 school. So if they were to lose early, and when I say early, I mean to potentially a Wisconsin in the Big Ten quarterfinals, they could drop easily to a 5 or a 6. If they win 2 games, they could bolster their status as a 4, maybe even sneak into a 3 spot. Last year, they were probably going to get a number 3 seed, but Notre Dame won the ACC. That knocked them down a slot.
And I've got Maryland as the top number 4 seed right now. That seems about right. And like you said, maybe fluidity as high as a high 3 or even a low 2 if they were to win, but seems like they're not playing their best basketball right now. Be interesting. I still think that starting five is as good as any starting five in the country, but depending on where they end up, they could end up in a really nasty second round game with some pretty good competition if they can't, you know, raise their stock from a 4 seed. So moving around, we've got probably one more team that at least to me, even if they flop out in their conference tournament, I think is in, which is VCU. I have VCU as a 9 seed. I've seen them kind of bounced around to different spots in the bracketology brackets. Where do you see VCU right now?
I see them as a 9 or a 10. They could very well slide down to the first four if they don't perform well in the Atlantic 10 tournament. They didn't have a great non-conference season. Granted, it was while they were still getting their bearings under new coach Will Wade, who's done a fantastic job this season in his first year at the helm with VCU. I think what hurts is that loss to George Mason is going to knock them down. Their home loss to George Washington also isn't ideal. Losing to Dayton on the last day of the regular season, even though it was a fantastic game, it was just a one-point affair. That's going to cost them. The A-10 is top-heavy enough that there are enough other good schools, like schools in that on the bubble, where you've got, say, a George Washington, you've got a Dayton, you've got St. Joe's, you've got St. Bonaventure, that if VCU departs early, as in if they lose that quarterfinal game, and say you've got George Washington, St. Joe's, Dayton, or St. Bonaventure advancing to the conference finals, a couple of those schools, the committee might be apt to take one of those schools that's won two or three games, as opposed to a VCU team that flamed out in the postseason and really didn't show much in November and December.
So I'll actually be in Brooklyn for the A-10 tournament this weekend. Which
no
should,
sleep
which
till
be,
Brooklyn
yeah, which
for
will
you.
Be very interesting, because I think there's it may be the most interesting dynamic-wise of all the conference tournaments, because you have four or five teams that all should or could get in, and it depending on how they all do, you know, you could see teams dropping out. I mean, you mentioned St. Joe's, I have on the 8 line right now. St. Bonaventure's, I have on the 10 line. Those are precarious spots to be going into your conference tournament. If you lose in your first game, that doesn't look so good. But I wanted to get to our next one, segueing nicely into GW. GW has been flirting with the edge of that bubble really a lot of the season. They had that great early win over Virginia, the sort of their trademark win, and Virginia's, you know, done so well that that's really looked like quite a nice win as the season's gone on. But man, they just can't, they drop these games that are just beneath them that they really should win. I mean, at 22-9, I'm just looking at some of their numbers. Like their RPI is 61, their BPI 58. They're 3-4 against the top 50, which isn't terrible. They're only 6-7 against the top 100, which is unspectacular. I don't know. I mean, I have them in the next four out right now. I have them 7 spots off the bubble.
I have them on the fringe, and they need to win at least 3 games in the upcoming Atlantic 10 tournament to be in contention. Losing to Davidson the final day of the regular season, ouch, that hurts. Not being able to sweep VCU hurts. Their best win of the season in conference play was at VCU. Their best win in the non-conference season was Virginia. But they also have some the loss at St. Louis is not good. The loss to DePaul is not good either. So there's a lot going against George Washington. They need to advance to the finals in order to be an at-large consideration. Otherwise, the same thing that I mentioned might happen to VCU would definitely happen. A St. Bonaventure, a St. Joe's, or a Dayton would claim a spot instead of them.
Well, and I mean, they're going to have to beat a VCU or a Dayton to get to the finals. I haven't seen exactly how the tree looks beyond their first game or two, but just by process of elimination, unless there's an upset somewhere along the way. Interesting. They're probably the team most likely to end up in Dayton, or most likely to you know, have maybe the most on the line this upcoming weekend in Brooklyn. Talking real quick about a couple of the other locals, we'll get back to Virginia Tech, but let's go through some of the smaller schools. We know American's been eliminated. They lost in their conference semifinal.
I can't say hottest team inside the Beltway anymore.
Not anymore.
Bummer.
They did finish strong, though. Good sign for next year. But for the remaining teams, I mean, looking at George Mason, obviously they got to win out if they're going to get through. Looking at Howard, they're going to have to win out if they're going to get through. And certainly they have potentially the talent to do that with James Daniel, with the highest scoring player in the entire country. What about Georgetown? What has gone on with Georgetown this year? And what do you see of them going into the Big East tournament?
They've been entering the season. I think there was a lot of excitement from the standpoint of, let's see how these kids come together this winter, because you had Devontae Smith-Rivera coming back. You had Bradley Hayes emerging as a force to be reckoned with in November. And then you had last year's freshman class, a year better, a year older, a year stronger playing together, and it just never gelled. The lack of a solid point guard really hurt this team offensively. Devontae Smith-Rivera, instead of just focusing on scoring, had to initiate a lot of the offense, and I think that really dragged his offensive game. Not being able to take care of the basketball hurt them in stretches. Against Xavier, they just had issues where I think, Butler went on a 16-0 run where Georgetown turned the ball over seven times in 4 minutes. Not being able to defend the three really hurt them as well. And just lack of offensive consistency. And Isaac Copeland would score 20 one night, and then he'd score 20 over the next four games. LJ Peak, similar situation, would have a big game, and then you wouldn't hear from him for a few more games. They're going to have to win four games in four nights, and they haven't beaten anybody other than St. John's in the last month. So it's a tall order for the Hoyas.
Yeah, 14-17 coming in. I mean, it's just, even just to have a winning record, you know, you gotta win out. So that'll be interesting. If they do make it, if they do find their way to the semis,
it'll be a story.
Or the finals, I will be back in Manhattan to cover that. But it's certainly, they're gonna have to piece together something better than what they've done so far. Talking about some of these bubble teams, the bubble I feel like is so sort of wide right now as far as who might be in, who's maybe a little overrated, a little underrated. We'll both do this, but let's look at a team that you think that maybe everybody sort of assumes is in, that maybe isn't in, that maybe we're looking at a paper tiger, and then we'll get into a team that isn't in that maybe you think has a chance to get in.
I think the big question isn't for us, but for the committee. How much will they weigh the conference tournaments? Because some of them, over the years, sometimes the committee weighs a deep run in a conference tournament a lot more than they do in other years. Sometimes they view it just as an extension of the regular season. Others view it as this is your final exam, and that kind of wipes out the fact that you failed a couple quizzes earlier in the semester. I think Syracuse is a team that is a squad that needs to win their noon game in that second round against Pittsburgh in the ACC tournament. It'll be at Verizon Center this week, and they need to beat Pittsburgh because they lost to North Carolina. They lost to Florida State to wrap up the regular season. They really haven't played good basketball the last couple of weeks. I think they've lost 4 of 5 entering the ACC tournament. They need to show something against the Panthers, a team they've already lost to, or they're going to be headed to the NIT.
You mentioned both those teams have 6 top 50 wins, but have, you know, double digit losses, have some weaknesses in their profile. Certainly for Syracuse could be a loser out game, maybe even for Pitt, depending on kind of just how everything goes and shakes out. What about a team that you think that's maybe off the radar or that people aren't talking about that has a chance to, without winning necessarily their conference tournament, but just has a chance in this week to sneak their way onto the bubble?
I'm going to go on record first and say that any team that wins its conference tournament, with the exception of Stetson the other night, they will make the NCAA tournament. They've got my approval there. I think Virginia Tech is the team that's come from out of nowhere. They were left for dead 5-8. They've won 5 straight. They had a huge win over Miami this past Saturday that was a far cry from beating the Wake Forest and the Boston Colleges. That's kind of how this streak got underway. But they were able to beat a Hurricanes team that had a lot to play for this past Saturday. Miami was fighting for a share of first place in the ACC. I think this Hokie team is really playing well as of late. 18-13. They've got a chance to win 20. If they get to the ACC semifinals, they'd be 20-14, and that is the classic bubble profile of Virginia Tech that we've grown to know and love over the last decade.
Well, and so you mentioned obviously that huge win over Miami. They weren't. I only went about 150 deep when I was doing the model because I'm not going to do 350 teams and manually update every week. And they weren't even on the radar. I mean, they didn't make the initial cut when I was going through this, and I had to add them back in. And they're only maybe 10 spots, 15 spots off the bubble based on my model. And you look at, they're going to get an early game against a team that they need to beat. But then if they win, they'll get Miami again on a neutral floor. They beat them at home. If they can beat them again on a neutral floor, they'll probably get Virginia on a neutral floor, who they beat at home. Suddenly, I mean, certainly if they win 3 games, you have to think adding those 2 more top 15 wins, you know, in Miami and Virginia, that suddenly they steal somebody else's spot.
Especially if somebody else drops down, because either Syracuse or Pitt is not going to win a game at all this week in the ACC tournament, and you're going to have other upsets, one would think, in other conferences, some sixes and seven seeds in their respective leagues dropping those first games.
So I have a couple teams, and I'm going to read their resumes to you, and I want you to tell me if you think that these sound like NCAA tournament teams. So Team 1 has an RPI of 51, is 1-3 against the top 50, and 4-7 against the top 100, but they do have 24 wins.
I'm going to say no, just because with the automatic qualifiers taking the bulk of the back end of the bracket, I'd say 50. You have to be in the 40s RPI-wise. They don't have an impressive record against the top 50, just one win. And even against, the top 100, it's not that much better.
Well, that's Wichita State. And a lot of people have Wichita State sort of just penciled in because they're Wichita State, I think. You know,
they are the Shockers.
Right. And I think the big shock might be that they don't make the bracket at all. They lost a heartbreaker in the conference semis against Northern Iowa, their conference nemesis. But the Missouri Valley just is not that good this year. I mean, it's not as good as the CAA. It's not as good as some of these other mid-major conferences. I think it ranks below the Mountain West Mountain West and below the WCC this year. It just I don't see that conference being that good, and they really didn't beat anybody. They played a couple big games, but they lost all their big games early. They were good in conference, but they lost some conference games late, and they didn't perform in the tournament when it mattered.
And conference play is tricky because so often a game in November, especially for the mid-major and even the one bid leagues, a game in November where you're able to beat a major school, that will help and drag up your conference's RPI, whereas maybe the league isn't any better or worse than it was last year, but the numbers that the committee has to go with, or the numbers at their disposal, show them they're not as good.
So here's another one for you.
All right. Pencil down.
Record is 19-12, RPI 48, 4-8 against the top 50, and 7-12 against the top 100.
I would put them ahead of the first school that we mentioned because they've played 12 schools against the top 100. I'd be tempted. They'd be right on that cut line, depending on how well they do this week, because I think that school with a win or two in their respective conference tournament, that 48 becomes a 40. A loss early, that 48 becomes a 56. Right now, they're in.
So that's Vanderbilt. And Vanderbilt, to me, I mean, so much of it comes down to the conference tournament, but I think that they need at least one win, probably two wins in the conference tournament. I think they have to beat somebody in the conference tournament, because if they just beat a low, you know.
Well, the SEC is loaded with great teams.
Yeah,
so.
I know. It's so bad for a major conference. Yeah, I mean, I've watched, you know, enough basketball this year between the SEC and the A-10. I said in the middle of the year I thought the A-10 was a bit better league than the SEC, and by numbers it may not be, but at the top, I mean, talk about the tournament teams, I really think that it is. I really think the top five or six teams in the A-10 is better than the top five or six teams in the SEC, and it kills me. People have just penciled Vandy in, and I don't see them as a tournament team unless they go win two or more games in the SEC tournament. Especially when you look at a team like this next team, which is 24-5, their RPI is 41. They have limited games against good competition because of their schedule. They're 0-1 against the top 50, and they're 4-1 against the top 100. 4-1 versus Vanderbilt's 7-12 against the top 100. That's pretty good. That's making do with what you got, and a 24-5 overall record and a better RPI. That's Valpo.
Wow.
If Valpo loses the Horizon League final, if they lose that championship, are they less deserving than a Vanderbilt or a Wichita State that didn't even make their championship?
I'd be tempted to put them in just because it's very tough for one bid league schools or mid-major schools to get games. We see George Washington right now with the scheduling problems that Mike Lonergan has. When he beats a Virginia at home, nobody wants to come to Smith Center. And it's very tough to get games with high majors, at least with the 1-1, and it's tough to do the 2-for-1 shenanigans. I think Valpo's profile, even with a loss, they should get in.
And that brings me to the game that will happen between when we record this and when you will listen to this, which I think is the most interesting game right now as far as going into the conference tournaments, at least for the championships as it stands right now, which is the MAAC final featuring Monmouth at 27-6. Their RPI is 49, and they are 2-2 against the top 50, 4-2 against the top 100. They've really been hurt by Georgetown turning out to be terrible, by UCLA turning out to be terrible, by these teams. You know, UCLA beat Kentucky earlier right. this year, and but you know, USC looked really good for a while. They split two games with USC. They beat somebody else good. Oh, they beat I can't remember their fourth. They have these four top 100 wins.
Did they beat Notre Dame?
Yeah, they beat Notre Dame, and Notre Dame at least has held up their end of the bargain. But man, if Georgetown had just won 18 games and UCLA had just won eight, these guys were on the bubble at least. They could say we beat tournament level teams, but these teams are not going to the tournament. USC is probably going to go unless they completely flame out in the Pac-12.
They went
tournament.
Last year and they didn't deserve to make it. Sometimes the committee, they'll do a makeup call where they'll right. have a team that shouldn't have made it last year make it or vice versa. I think Monmouth is one of those schools. It's tough to get games against high majors, as we mentioned, and you have no idea from year. I don't think anybody knew that Georgetown was going to crater like they did this year, that UCLA wasn't going to be as impressive. I think you have to give credit to Monmouth for actually going out and trying to get games against good teams.
I have them as the fifth to last team in right now. So if they lose, it'll be really interesting to see if they can hang on to the edge of the bubble or if their season dies despite 27 wins and a pretty tough road slate. All right. Well, we kind of covered. Are there any games? Is there anything you're in particular looking forward to before we get actually into the tournament? Just as far as championship week, is there anything people should keep an eye on? Just a team with a chance to really improve their stock, a team with a chance to prove something, anything that sort of sticks out to you?
This is just the busiest week of the year because unlike the NCAA tournament, you only have 68 and then 64 schools in the mix. Everybody's playing this week. Everybody thinks that they have a shot. Not all schools do, obviously. I think it's odd to see the ACC tournament back up in D.C. I think something that everyone in the area is going to look to is how well Virginia does and how well Maryland fares, because I think a lot of people are concerned about what's been happening with the Terrapins the last month, and I think a lot of folks are curious to see exactly what Virginia does, because yes, they have a lot of top 20 wins, but they don't have that. They didn't have that signature road win. They lost at Duke. They lost at. They lost at Miami. They lost a lot early on in ACC play. They lost at George Washington. Let's see Virginia play well away from Charlottesville.
And they should have some good support here. It's maybe the one time Maryland is regretting not being in the ACC because they'd have some serious home court advantage. But no more being a member of the Big Ten. Thanks, Dave Preston, for joining me, and feel free to parse through all the particulars of the model and everything and leave questions for us in the comments if you've got any. I guess that's it. We'll see you in a week after Selection Sunday. We'll break down everything, see how well we did on our model, how well it actually predicted the field of 68, and we'll go from there with our predictions for the first couple rounds and beyond.